Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, go to pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all you non-members out there, sign up for our free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the Apple Store and Google Play. In today's podcast, we feature an episode from Ask a Painter Live with Nick Slavik. In this episode, Nick Slavik discusses the science behind coating decks and the proper procedures to do so. Join us to learn everything you need to know about decks.
Here we are, folks. Good morning. It is a beautiful Saturday here. Probably going to be the nicest Saturday we've had, nicest day we've had, probably in 6 months here in Minnesota. It's going to be in the 80s today. So thank you all for watching. I am Nick Slavik. I'm the proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I'm also the host of this show, Ask a Painter Live. It's a weekly live Facebook show where I use my almost three decades of experience in the trades to answer any questions about business ownership, coding science, things like that. Today is going to be a coding science show. Thanks to the people at Cabot and Purdy, we are here to talk about everything you've ever wanted to know about decks. I do this show annually, usually late April, May, because this is deck season here in the upper Midwest and most of the upper part of the United States. Minnesota, New York, Maine, Washington State, these are kind of proving grounds for treated lumber, cedar decks. We go from negative 40, we go to 100 degrees, super humid, and ice and snow sit on a lot of our decks for 5 or 6 months of the year. So this is a process born in a crucible that I figured out over the last 29 years, and I have done everything, folks. So today, what we're going to do is we are not going to talk about specifically use this for this. I'm going to show you examples, but think about the teach a person to fish metaphor. If I just told you, do this to this, it doesn't teach you the theory behind it. So I'm going to actually show you the theory and the science behind each step so you can apply it to whatever deck you have, because there is an insane amount of variables in decks. And a lot of it has to do with what is it made out of? What did the last person do? What did the last person put on it? And how do they maintain it? So given all decks are the same, it would be easy to just give you advice to do it. I'm going to teach you the science behind it so you can adapt it to anything you do. Now, any questions you guys have about decks, type them in below. I'm going to give my primer on this. So for people who want to get in, get out, learn about decks, everything you've ever wanted to know about prep, application, coatings, maintenance, you can do that. And then we'll go into the comments there. So I want to mention a few things. Number one, my company just won two national awards for this project. This is the Granada Theater in downtown Minneapolis. We restored that this last winter. It was a very challenging project, as large commercial restorations sort of are. We're in a downtown area. Parking, there was no heat for a while. We're working around people cutting concrete, things like that. The most uplifting, remarkable thing about this project is that it was led by two people, two women. One, Tina. Everybody knows and loves Tina, who's been following me and this show and my company for a long time. Tina is a staple of this company, master craftsperson, artist. There's a lot of things hanging in this office, fine artwork that she actually creates from our job. She's a fine artist that happens to be a very good architectural artist as well. At the time that this theater was restored, Tina had only been in the trades for 2 years, and she led the entire project. What's even cooler is that she had an apprentice named Gabby. Gabby was brand new to the trades. This was one of her first projects, and they were in downtown Minneapolis, working in a dark, cold theater, completely restoring the entire thing. Now, yes, there was lots of bread and butter painting, but the star of the show was a lot of that gold leaf stuff. So again, if you see in the, you can see this online and all the videos and stuff too, but they applied gallons and gallons and gallons of liquid gold leaf to this place all by hand, artist brush meticulously, working around all these other people. So this is a true, true statement of what is possible with Trades 2.0, the new face of the trades. These are people who had never been in the trades before, but are happy, optimistic, and want to learn something, and they are decent human beings. And with a little bit of leadership, a little bit of skill, some training, you can take that decent human being and they can do amazing things. So hats off to Tina, hats off to Gabby. This is awards for you guys and the rest of the company who worked on this. Very proud of your people. So again, Thank you so much to APC Magazine. Thank you to the PCA, who sponsors these PIP Awards, Picture It Painted Perfectly Awards, and I'm very proud of my people for that. Also, I am coming to Nashville very soon. So anybody in the area, I just got a message from somebody who's actually flying in from about four states away to see this. If you want two master's classes all in one day, all the things I talk about here, but you get me in person, you get the PowerPoint presentation, you get all the financials from my company, you get real world job costing, we talk about your company. If you want that in a one day thing in Nashville, that is coming up. There's going to be a link in this show to that later on. I would love to see you guys. Nashville is the first one, then we're heading to Washington State, and then we're going to go all over the country. Northeast tour, a 4 to 5 stop Northeast tour with some of the people you know and love is coming together right now. More to follow on that, but there's a link in the show if you want to attend any of that stuff. So again, put your questions in the comments here, folks. I will get to them in a second, but let's talk about the science of decks. Again, think about the theory of decks. Decks are won and lost in preparation and maintenance. You can take a very, very inferior coating and put it on a deck. If you prepped it well and you maintain it well, it'll perform very well. So again, I am going to teach you the science behind this stuff, not necessarily going to specific products, although I want to show you some of my favorites here, but this is the theory of decks. So number one, prep. Prep is the biggest thing. Now, one of the worst things you can do is forcibly remove coatings from decks with either pressurized water or mechanical means. Not the worst thing in the world. Sometimes decks call for that, but you're going to do a lot of damage to the wood. So what I've adapted is something where it's a very simple process, straightforward process, and you can do this with stuff you probably already have or things available at your local store. So this is typically what we have in Minnesota. This is a piece of a deck. One of my favorite carpenters was tearing down a deck and called me and said they had some cedar boards, and you can see it's probably been somewhere between 5 and 8 years since it's been coated. It does have probably one or two coats of random brown stains on it, which we get a lot, and then it's grayed a lot. So this is typically what we get when we get a deck. And our process is this. We take a brightener, this right here. The theory behind this is oxalic acid. It sounds like a nasty word, like a nasty chemical. This is basically what they put on the outside of sour candy to make it sour. So again, you don't want to drink it, but at the same time, this is very safe. We have not killed plants. We have not harmed lawns and landscapes with this stuff. You basically take this. This is kind of a semi-premixed solution. You mix this with in 5 gallons of water, and you have this solution. And we apply it in two ways. With a garden pump sprayer, you know, you get like a 1 or 2 gallon, you pump the top to pressurize it, you spray it on, you soak the deck down first with water, apply this brightener over the top if it's a deck like this, and then you scrub. And typically we like to use extension poles like this, and we have bristle brushes at the end. And instead we replace sort of mechanical stuff. You can take a pressure washer, crank it all up and start trying to remove this stuff, but you're gonna harm the wood. You're gonna turn it into driftwood. So what we do, this chemical actually does a little bit of the work for you. This scrub brush does a little bit of the work for you. And then if that's the case, you can just rinse it off with either a garden hose or a pressure washer. And then you're gonna leave most of that wood intact. Because if you take a pressure washer and you just blast it like that, you're just mechanically removing wood that happens to have finish on it. Now, basket case decks. Let's say you have a deck with an oil finish on it or a hybrid finish on it, and there's patches here, patches there, and you want to get it all to bare wood in order to make something like this. Now, this is going to take a lot of work. We're not going to sugarcoat this. Most of the deck will come off very easily. Tops of the handrails, the floor, the flat areas with no obstructions are fairly easy to get at. It's all the spindles, all the nooks and crannies, all the little skirt boards, things like that. You can use a stripper. Now, oxalic acid is a brightener. It works with the tannic acid in the wood. This is not technically a finish remover. It will loosen up dead wood fibers. It will work to actually brighten up that wood. Stripper, sodium hydroxide, that is the base chemical of most oil-based strippers like that. Now, again, you're going to want to wet down your landscape, wet down your plants. You're going to want to cover everything that you don't want this stuff to come into contact to. You apply this straight with a garden sprayer, a brush, a mop, something like that. Get it on there. And tip from a pro, the second this stuff stops being wet, it stops working. So a lot of the times what I'll do is I will cover things with plastic. We'll take just bulk painter's plastic. We'll spray this all over a railing, cover that railing there, because on a sunny and windy day, it'll dry out almost instantly. And this will keep it wet and working. Again, you can see this takes a lot of effort. Now, it is not as simple as putting it on, it all melts off, you wash it off, this and that. It's probably going to take a couple applications. And in the end, you may have to do a little mechanical removal with a random orbital sander, a surf prep, something like that. So what I would urge you guys to do, if you think you want to strip your deck, I would say do a test first. Go somewhere out of the way in an unobstructed area, do a little test patch, put a little piece of plastic over it, let it cook for 10, 15, 20 minutes, come back and see what it does to the finish. This usually does not strip water-based finishes. So if you have a deck covered with latex paint, acrylic paint, acrylic stain, things like that, you're not really going to have much success doing that. You either have to mechanically remove it, or you got to step up chemicals, which is a thing that I would only ask pros to do. Now, when you have a deck like that, I have an example here. People always say, hey, this happens probably once a week in the summer. Hey, we got a deck. Somebody did some horrible thing to it. They just bought a gallon of latex paint, put it on there. It started peeling up and bubbling up a couple months later, and it will, because paint is not a great idea for a deck. You can prep it, you can prime it, you can paint it. It doesn't breathe enough because decks are usually open on the bottom side and moisture will readily migrate through there, especially when the sun hits it. It rains below, the moisture's coming through, and you get a really bad peeling situation. If you have one of those decks, you can maintain it. You can sort of remedy it, but it's going to be very difficult to solve it forever unless you get that coating off. So in that case, what we do, if somebody wants, you know, the white railings and the nice kind of natural floor, we'll actually use a solid color acrylic stain, deck stain, specifically made for that. The theory behind solid color acrylic stains is basically it gives you the painted finish, but it penetrates more. It's a more like consolidated, penetrative finish that you put two coats on. And theoretically, most stains will fade before they peel. Most paints will peel before they fade. So, all right, we have a deck like this. We've applied our brightener to it. We've scrubbed it. And then you can use a garden hose, or we use a finely tuned industrial pressure washer with a large gallon per minute. The pressure, the PSI isn't as important to a professional as gallons per minute. I would rather have a fairly low PSI comparatively and high gallons per minute. The flow of the water is the thing that's going to clean, not how high the pressure is going to be. You want a really low pressure, but a large gallon per minute. So we have finely tuned professional spray equipment. And we either use a yellow tip or we use a turbo nozzle wobble tip. They call those different things. Now, I would caution you, if you do not flow match this to your pressure washer, yeah, some of our pressure washers are 4 to 5 gallons per minute. You have to find one that actually matches that because it's going to be in tune then. A professional who knows what they're doing with a 4 to 5 gallon per minute pressure washer with one of these will gently remove all dead wood fiber and stuff that the oxalic acid in the stripper has loosened up. This in the wrong hands will turn your deck into driftwood. So again, the theory is put the stuff on, scrub with a brush to loosen it up so you don't have to do that. And then pressure washer or the lightest amount of pressure you can. We go a little bit higher pressure for production on our decks. Now, after that is done, you're left with something like this. Again, not bright pink cedar, but this is a brightened prepped wood. And what's going to happen is anytime you apply water to bare wood, it's going to raise the grain. This is something that wood flooring guys do in houses. When you have a maple floor and you want a deep color, they do something called water popping. They actually wet the floor down, it raises and opens that grain, and then they knock that grain down again, and it allows stain to penetrate a little better. Same theory goes here. Once the deck is washed, it's fine. You might look at it and say, oh my God, we're ready to stain. Professionals and most people who really care about their decks will like to give it a quick sand. Now, again, this is not a carpenter's version of sanding where you're removing wood. This is basically knocking down the raised grain that you've just done on the deck and then basically just making it feel nice to the touch, making it, opening up the rest of the pores. What I found as well, too, is that 5 to 10% of the wood fibers and old finish and stuff like that will be on the deck even after you brighten it, scrub it, and wash it. And that mechanical sanding will take it off almost instantly. when you use a stripper or a brightener on a deck, it does loosen it up and almost separate that old dirt, old finish, just dead wood fibers from the deck, and a mechanical sander will take it off with almost no effort at all. Sanding, two options really. I love, you know, surf prep, random orbital sanders, things like that. 80 grit and 100 or 120 grit. Those are kind of my two options. When you have a deck that is old and craggy and just kind of beat up, maybe been washed bad a couple times, you know, something that's 20, 30 years old, I usually go 80 grit just to kind of get that workable. And 80 grit will actually last longer on a deck like that. If you have a newer deck, you know, something like this, where it's maybe only 8 to 10 years old and it hasn't been kind of turned into driftwood or a whole bunch of bad things haven't been done to it, I like to go 100 or 120. Downside of 80 grit. 80 grit is super aggressive. It'll burn through a lot of that craggy stuff. But on a newer deck, it'll actually leave little pigtails and swirl marks in there if you're not close. So that's when I step it up to 100 or 120. You can certainly go 150, 180, 220, but that stuff is just almost too fine. You got to be careful about closing the grain on the wood. So another note about new decks at this point too, because right when we get ready to finish, you know, we have to talk about what happens with new decks. We get calls every week during the year saying, we just built a deck. You don't even need to prep it. Just come on out here and throw some stain on it. I would almost argue new decks need almost more prep than existing decks. When you get a piece of cedar, here's the backside. I'll see if I can show you guys if we can get a little, little shine. You see that shine right there on that wood, how it's kind of reflecting there? So a new deck, whether it's pressure treated or whether it's cedar, will come with something called mill glaze. Mill glaze is actually when they run a piece of wood through a piece of carpentry equipment at the, or a wood cutting equipment or wood finishing equipment at the actual wood mill, the blades, the planers, the joiners actually burnish the wood and almost knock the grain down, smoothing it and burnishing it. Finish will not penetrate into that stuff. So we use the same exact prep method for existing gray decks like this versus brand new decks. We will brighten. This sort of opens pores up. It gets rid of that mill glaze. We'll scrub. That also gets rid of mill glaze. And then we'll give it a light sand. I've seen some of the worst failures in my life when people build a brand new deck and just slap a finish on. Within weeks or months, that stuff will come off. And it's a horrifying thing because I know what these decks cost, especially nowadays with these lumber prices escalating. You will have a basket case the rest of your life if you don't do it right. So I would urge you, no matter what deck you do, we use the same prep process over and over and over again. I'll get to your guys' questions in just a bit here. Let's talk about some finishing and some application now. So again, here is the theory of finishing. In my company, so Cabot and everybody else has tons and tons of coatings here. I was asked by Cabot to pick out my favorite ones that are go-tos in my company. And we basically have three solutions for decks. This is our most popular one. This is what we would call the natural. When somebody says, hey, we built a brand new deck or we have a deck that's a little bit gray, we just want that bright cedar look again. We want it to look like it brand new again. Natural is the way to go. Typically, what you'll find is people say, we want, just throw on a clear coating. Clear coatings are fine. They're good. But the theory is the more pigment you have in a coating, the more protection you're going to get. So if you apply a clear, we're going to talk about maintenance later, but if you apply a clear coating, you're going to get the least amount of wear or protective timeline in that deck. When you step it up to like a natural, an Australian timber oil, it's going to be clear, air quotes, but it's going to have a little bit of tint in it. That little bit of pigment, that little bit of tint will protect even more. The second option we have is like a semi-solid, like this. I usually go right over semi-transparent only because the solution that we're looking for is we have a deck that has, you know, 20% of the old existing finish is still on it in some way. And it's dark brown, so we got brand new bright wood here after we did this. There's some stuff that's not coming off. Client didn't want to pay for a full strip, so now what do? We got brand new cedar and we got some existing finish. We will try to match that existing finish as closely as possible, apply it all over the deck, and it will actually blend in those areas like that. So that is a solution for those decks. If you have a deck with a fairly deep pigmented, a semi-transparent or a semi-solid stain like this, and you put natural on the rest of it, you're going to get some natural, and you're going to get enhanced versions of this. And from experience, clients don't enjoy that very much. So then you give them, the best advice I can give for pros is always give your client two options. Instead of saying, we'll just make it right, we'll figure it out, just say, okay, here's the options. We can strip your deck down to bare. There's a cost associated with that. Or we can find a little heavily, more heavily pigmented stain, and we can go that route, and we don't have to strip the whole deck, and it'll blend it all in. It just depends on what the client wants. And I start every deck conversation with, hey, client, what do you want? Do you want natural? Do you want white railings, natural floors? Do you just want a deep brown or gray or black deck? It's up to you. Third option, solid color acrylic. So you can see here, bare wood up here. Let's see if you can get a shift. There we go. There's one coat here and two coats here. I typically like to apply solid color acrylics in two coats. The first coat will typically soak in. On knots, it'll be a little bit shinier because it doesn't penetrate as much. And on some of the more, you know, just sapwood, growth rings, things like that, it'll soak in and be a little more dead. That second coat will really sort of bring it together, give it more protection. So typically what we use this for is for aesthetic purposes. Again, at the proverbial white railing, natural floor. I do not like to prime in two coats of paint in that case because of all the reasons I mentioned before. I like to go two coats of solid color acrylic stain. 20, 30 years ago, everything used to be oil. What I like to see is now that the industry trend is moving towards water-based and the science is really getting there. And then there's also hybridized sort of stuff too. So we'll talk about applicators here in just a second. We used to do oil everything, and now we're finding just as much success with solid color acrylics as we used to with the oils in the past, which is very good. So let's talk about, the other reason. If we have a complete basket case deck, the wood is old and checked and craggy, there's old finishes all over here, somebody's done horrible things with a pressure washer, you know, red tip, wrote their name in cursive in it, things like that, we can apply super heavy two coats of this stuff, and it'll make up for a lot of sins. Like, I picked this specific deck board because in this bottom corner, you can see that there's damage. Somebody drug a grill over it. There was another piece of wood there. In a natural stain deck, it's going to kind of pronounce that a little bit. With a deck like this, it's going to cover it up and seal it. And you can actually see there's a bunch of checks and stuff in here. Nail holes too. This solid color acrylic will actually fill in and seal all that stuff, give it a longer life. Applicators. Typically, as a professional, we like to get the stuff on and work it in as fast as possible. So we will use airless sprayers and we'll spray this on. And then it's very important to back brush or back roll. And you have a couple options. Now, you don't need to use an airless sprayer. You can certainly just apply it by hand. We've done it for decades and that's fine. But when we have a lot of decks to do and we got multiple people on a job, we like to move quickly. So if you're going to hand apply, a couple options for brushes. So if you use an oil stain, you should use a natural bristle brush, a hog hair bristle. It's either white or black, natural bristle brush. But if you're using a water-based or a hybrid, even hybrids, those oil and water modifieds, you use nylon. And a couple options that I found, good luck. Clear cuts, they got a little bit finer bristles. Seem to hold the water-based for sure well, and the hybrids pretty well. My favorites, the Pro Extras, these have a little bit stiffer bristles. They seem to be a little more sturdy, things like that. So depending on the thickness of the stain, certainly with solid color acrylics and things like that, they work really well. And XLs, especially the high capacity ones like that too. When you got that big ferrule like that, you can get in there and soak up a lot of stain. What you want to do is hybrids. A lot of people start using natural bristle brushes with hybrids because they're technically got some oil in them. I've actually found that the little bit of water that does that is included in a lot of the hybrids will actually swell those natural bristle brushes, and the bristle brushes actually kind of turn into dust mops after a bit. So even when you use hybrids, even though they have oils, kind of like the Australian timber oil, and the semi-solids like this, I still use nylons and stuff like that, or blended brushes. If you want to roll, typically we would have, you know, like a Purdy Pail, something like this. And then I like to use either Golden Eagles, Marathon, something like that. White Dubs are not bad, but roller covers like this are a little more sturdy. And we usually use 1/2 inch or 3/4, give or take. And then these will actually stay puffed up when you're working on, you know, stuff outside. A couple of the more finer, like refined, lint-free, shed-free sort of things, they work fine, but these tend to keep their fluff outside, and especially when you have a deck that's got a lot of bits and pieces, you know, the cracks between boards, these do an insanely good job with that sort of thing. So, all right, so let's talk about maintenance. This is the other key. When you talk to your clients about success with a deck, almost every deck conversation starts like this. We had our deck stained somewhere between 1 and 3 years ago. It didn't last. I'm really disappointed with the performance. What can we do to get better performance? And this is the point where, as a professional or even as a homeowner, you need to be realistic with yourself. If you stain a deck something like this natural and promise them a 10-year finish, they and you will be sadly disappointed in the whole thing. If you read the technical data sheets of the products, if you go deep on the website, they actually have maintenance regimens suggested here. Typically, what they say is 1 to 2 years for something like this. And again, it's all based on conditions, sun exposure, rain exposure, things like this. And it goes up from there. Now, you can follow the technical data sheets. I would urge you to do that. From a 30-year pro who's been doing this, I've tried everything in every way. Here's been my recommendations to my client. Because again, you can show them a technical data sheet, and we all know when you look at the coatings, it's awesome. 99% of the time they're good. There are some outlier sort of things where we have to say, well, in the field, this is different and this is what we do. When we advise our clients on finishes and they have a choice between a natural, a semi-solid, or a solid color acrylic deck, this is the maintenance recoats that we suggest. We would love to see you do this every year, but really in reality, every 1 to 2 to 3 years is just fine. You get to that third year, we're gonna have to do much more work with brighteners and sometimes even strippers. My deck on my old historic home, I used as an experimental ground, and I did mine at least once a year, sometimes twice. And it got to a point where it looked like a varnished floor, and all I had to do was take a little bit of soapy water on a bristle brush and hose it off with a garden hose. You can push your maintenance coats out. You can say, yeah, we're only going to do this every 4 or 5 years. It's just more work you're going to have to do, brightening, brushing, scrubbing, and sanding later on. I would love to see every year, but really 1 to 3 years is okay. We've seen decks handle it very well. Somewhere between 2 and 4 years, we say for semi-solid. If somebody goes with a little more pigment, you're going to get a little more wear and tear out of it. And then for solid color acrylics like that, I typically say you're going to get 3 to 5 years out of that deck. Again, in Minnesota, for at least 5 months of the year, we have ice and snow and water sitting on these things. So you can imagine that, yes, some decks, if you have a north side deck that never gets rained on and the sun doesn't hit it, it's going to be longer. If you have a south side deck that has snow sitting on it for 5 months of the year, people walking all over it, rain hitting it constantly, sun baking it, it's going to be on the lower end of that. So best thing you can do as a pro is be honest with your clients right away and tell them, like, listen, read the technical data sheets. We even offer the technical data sheets. A lot of clients say, what, every 1 to 3 years? That's insane. I want to stay in this deck and not think about it for 10 years. We can say, listen, I can give you 2 data points. One, as a pro, I've done everything and I've seen the best success with this. And number two, here's actually what every product recommends. If you look at all the TDSs, the technical data sheets, you'll find very similar information to that. Cabot has very, very good ones on their website. I would urge you to see those. So that's basically the everything you've ever wanted to know about decks. You guys can start dropping your comments here and questions, and I'm going to start rolling through them. So pardon my reach over here. We'll go through Instagram first here a little bit. Thank you, everybody, for watching. I really appreciate this. I'm really looking forward to Saturday mornings all the time now. We get lots of interactions, so... Oh yeah, bom dia for all my Brazilian Pintor friends. Love you guys watching. Dominic, awesome. Hooray, the annual decking show. I love that, man. All right. Painters for Less, good morning. How are you? And then we'll get to Facebook here. Yeah, thanks everybody for watching here. Okay, let's go through Facebook. Jerry, good morning. Paul, Angie, absolutely happy to share some knowledge. Fernando, what's the best way to go about e-paint? Oh, yes, the proverbial exotic hardwood. So what you're going to find is that there is a type of wood called e-paint, Brazilian cherry, tiger wood, Brazilian tiger wood, Brazilian walnut. It goes by 1,000 names. It's beautiful wood. It's super hard. It's super dense. I just did a sample for a client this last week. So typically, you want to follow the same thing. Brazilian, let's just call it Ipe. Ipe reacts very well to brighteners and stuff like that. Give it a good sand. Again, because it's a harder wood, I would probably go with 100 or 120. If you go with an 80 grit on that stuff after scrubbing, washing, and drying, you know, you could leave some pigtails. Another thing I should mention too is that people always ask, how long do you leave something like Ipe or cedar or treated left to dry before you stain it? At least 24 hours. We always like 24 to 48. But as pros, we use digital moisture meters to check, and you want that moisture 15% or lower. We've had great success with that. So I would urge you to do that. Now, I've done Ipe for probably a decade with no failures. We followed the same process. We just use a penetrative stain like this, like Australian timber oil, which is made specifically for exotics and things like that. If you go to anything that's got more pigment in it, because it's harder wood, more dense, more closed grain, you run the risk of anything with a ton of pigment not penetrating all the way down. And again, if you think about the theory, people get Ipe because they want that beautiful, rich, reddish, orangish, yellowish look to it. You're probably not going to put two coats of an acrylic solid color on it. Maybe even semi-solid, usually not the case. I've only had one in probably 15 years that wanted a deep red stain over the top of it. It's fine. It obstructs the grain. The client loved it, but it didn't really do justice to the beautifulness and the richness of that wood. Now, there is one other prep process that is tossed around the professional world that people find success in, which is wiping these decks down with acetone because of the oils and things that they have in there. I've actually not done this before. We've had success with these decks. I'm always careful with hot solvents, use it in my company. We don't use a lot of the MEKs, lacquer thinners, acetones in my company because you start introducing chemistry that most people don't quite understand. So if you wipe a deck down with acetone, if there's any latent acetone and you put a deck stain on there like that, it can interact very badly. I mean, at a minimum, you might get fish eyes. At a maximum, yeah, you could have a hot solvent that doesn't allow that deck stain to dry fully, and it could stay gummy. So honestly, that's another thing that I've seen on technical data sheets. I've seen pros do. I've seen them do with success. My data point I can give you is that we don't make a habit of that stuff. We just wash the deck, we scrub it, we brighten it, we sand it really well. To me, that opens up the pores as much as we need, and we've never had an issue with any sort of latent wood oils and things like that in there. But in theory, the acetone would get rid of the wood oil if you've got a brand new piece of Ipe or something's oily or gummy or things like that. Weather will also do that as well.
All right, let's see what else we got here. Oh, let's see, Paul Stein. That's why it was success. New painters have passion. There you go. That talking about the project. Coming from Florida, Alberto, how's it going? Oh, here we go. Mike, have you heard anything about the paint shortage crisis? Just wondering if it's affected your business. It has ours. So yes, about 6 weeks ago, my paint reps and I, we sat down and we made first, second, and third order contingency plans for anything that we needed. So far, because we've had these plans enacted, we've always had backup and backup and backup plans for all of our coatings, proven coatings, because we test a lot of them. We've only had 1 week where a couple days, one of our wall paints was not available. So we went to our second contingency plan, moving on. And we've had great success with this. I know that commercial people, especially when you're getting into like ceiling paints and stuff like that. I've heard of people running into shortages, but honestly, there's enough paint out there. And if you look around, there's plenty of stuff we can get. So don't let that be the reason you don't win this year. Hi, Angie. Oh, here we go. Let's see. Angie Moore, what do you do if you went too far and turned your deck into driftwood? So you can mechanically sand a lot of that stuff. If it's really bad, if you've taken a red tip with a pressure washer and written your name in cursive in it, you may have to go with something with a lot of pigment to hide all that stuff. And depending on how much coating, previous coating is left on there, will probably determine how much pigment, whether you go semi-solid or a pure latex. But you can, with time and effort and a sander and a whole pile of 80 grit, fix that deck. But buckle in, get some eye protection, get a respirator, get hearing protection, and find your favorite podcast.
and buckle in for a long run.
Will power washing remove the mill glaze?
So, okay. People love to go right to the pressure washing because it's like a video game. It's like, I stand here, I move it over, it does this. I am not a big fan of that because I have seen new decks turned into driftwood by just pressurized water alone. What you want to do is hit it with oxalic acid, a deck brightener, and then scrub it. That will do 75% of the work for you. The pressure washer in our company is a super effective way to apply a ton of water and remove stuff off there. We don't actually want to remove a lot of the old coatings and mill glaze and dead wood fibers by pressurized water. We want the scrubbing and the chemical to do the work because that'll preserve the wood much better.
Let's see here. What's your process material of choice for teak deck? Okay, Brian Chemnitz, same thing as Ipe up there. If you have mahogany, if you have teak, if you have Ipe, if you have any of those exotic hardwoods, same process as above there. And again, remember, I always talk about with the client first. This process is dictated largely by the client. Say, what is the end result you want your deck to look like? If they are going to just do two coats of solid color acrylic stain, you don't necessarily need to brighten the wood because you're not going to be seeing that grain underneath, but you do want to do a super thorough cleaning, scrubbing, and then pressure washing as well.
All right. TJ, no problem. Jay, no problem. Diane, if you restain deck every year, do you have to remove the old stuff?
No. Great clarification. You do not. So if you have an intact finish on a deck, all you have to do is clean it and then apply something over.
There's a lot of times where we get, say, a deck, you know, that we've done previously with a natural like this, and maybe a little bit of the handrail is weathered. There's a big pile of snow or something in the corner that sat all winter and it got a little gray. All you have to do is brighten the deck. It will clean up a lot of the wood fibers here. You scrub and pressure wash it off. And even if some of the handrails, and this is typically what we see in decks, which is any areas that are horizontal, floors and tops of handrails, will get the most sort of sun damage first, just because, you know, it's the sun is directly coming into contact and water sits on top of it. Typically, what you'll find is spindles and posts and rails can sometimes go 3 to 4 times longer without staining than the actual floors and the tops of the handrails. So if your spindles and stuff look good, technically, I've told clients in the past, like that some of these that have built like 100-foot decks on the back of their house, if you don't want to restain the whole thing every year, technically you could wash the whole thing. And if the spindles have intact finish, maybe skip the spindles this time, which is the time consuming thing, and just do tops of the handrails and the decks, things or the floor, things like that. That's a way to be economical. I'm a big fan of just doing it all if you're going to do it, but I certainly understand if a client has a monster deck and it costs thousands and thousands of dollars to stain it. If they get in a good maintenance regimen, that'll work just fine.
All right. Let's see here. Oh, Andy Hall, how's it going, man? Heritage Painting, good morning. Good morning, Harvey. What's the best method to brighten vertical surfaces? Zach Hutzel, same thing. You want to do a wood brightener like this. A little pro trick here is if you have a garden sprayer, like one of those pump sprayers, you dilute this with water. This is basically a little concentrate. A trick, this stuff actually has a surfactant in it, which will make it sticky. If you take just water and spray it on a vertical surface, you know, it runs off. This stuff is actually a little bit sticky. It'll actually stick and cling there. Another trick you can do is if it's not sticking to post, to spindles, things like that, you can add a bunch of dish soap to it as well. And that dish soap will actually make it a little more sticky. So that's actually what we do in our company a lot of the times too, when we have a lot of that stuff to do. Another thing you can do too is, again, remember the theory of all this stuff is when it dries out, it stops working. So if you have a monster deck, I would say go when it's dewy in the morning to wash. Do it when it's not in direct sun. When it's a cool day, this stuff will stay wet a lot longer. If it doesn't, you can always apply plastic over the top of it, but that gets a little bit cumbersome and things like that. So just keep wetting it and it'll stay working. Oh, let's see. David King, why do you like Surf Prep and why do you use them over Festool? So I love that. We use everything, but Surf Prep is very near and dear to my heart. The people who make them are some of the finest human beings on earth. And if you've ever used a Surf Prep, you'll understand. It's the difference between a Lamborghini and a Ford F-150. Ford F-150s are insanely impressive machines. Lamborghinis are even more impressive. And I would urge you to give it a try. They're great things here. Dave, how's it going? Mike, no problem. Todd Hill, Todd, how's it going? We had to wipe a deck down with acetone because the stain was being pushed off by the natural oils in the wood. Manufacturer's rep said it would be okay to, the comments are rotating down on me. I didn't want it to set up over the winter. Manufacturer rep recommended a hardwood oil stain. Yeah, so again, with those things, typically what we find with those new decks there, we do samples on all this stuff. So we will actually go out and you can take water and put a couple drops on it. And if the water stays beaded up like tight beads, you know that you have to go through a pretty intense prep process on any new deck. And you're going to find that when a deck has been brightened, washed, scrubbed, and rinsed off like that, typically what you find is you put a drop of water on there, it'll just soak right into it. That's how you know that that deck is ready to be finished, or at least ready to be prepped to finish. All right, Nick, how do you neutralize after brightener? How would you strip solid stain? Cap it, strip, or do something more heavy? Yes, so here's the deal. The general idea is oxalic acid will work with the tannic acid in the wood to brighten the wood. Sodium hydroxide will strip oil-based stains. It will not strip, in my experience. It can affect it, but it will not readily strip as well as oils, any sort of latex coating like that. So that's either mechanical. There's two choices for a client, just like the proverbial two choices I mentioned. You either strip it all off mechanically, which means scraping and sanding, or you use a solid color acrylic and just go over the top of it like that, knowing that it's going to be a maintenance thing for you for a while like that. Oh, what was the other one? Do you have a way to neutralize? So here's the deal. This is a very dilute solution that we use to brighten our decks. We do not neutralize after that. The amount of water that we do with the scrubbing and the washing and the rinsing, we've never had an issue with any of that stuff affecting the finishes of the deck. So we will brighten, we will scrub, and we will use a lot of water to rinse that all off. And especially with the amount of water we use, we've never had an issue with that sort of thing. So again, read the technical data sheets, certainly follow their thing. But the data point I can give you is that if you use a ton of water and rinse it properly, you will not have problems with that. TJ, how about cedar siding with transparent stain? To clean, do you prefer pressure washing or cleaner? Yes, so it's not a choice. This is a system where you can either remove old coatings with force or science. Force is pressurized water or a sander. Science is a chemical and a scrub brush to do a lot of that stuff for you gently so that you don't have to use pressurized means, this just sort of like way of removing wood and old finish like that. So we treat the outsides of cedar homes exactly like decks. We will spray a brightener on there, we'll scrub them, and we'll rinse them off. That preserves a lot of the original wood, but it does get rid of a lot of dead wood fibers and does brighten up the wood that is exposed to the elements. Todd Hill, David King, absolutely, man, no problem. Oh, Todd, you want to set up some classes in Colorado? Yes, nick@nickslavic.com. I should mention as well, I will be in Nashville shortly. I would love to see anybody within shooting distance there. If you want to come to an all-day deal where I give two master's classes, where I open up my business to you and we discuss your business as well, you can email me, nick@nickslavic.com, or you can contact the PCA. I will also put a link in the show notes this for you. Zach, no problem, man. Happy to do it. What's your opinion on Yeah. Let's see here. What else we got? Going through a couple more comments here. Making sure I don't miss anything on Instagram here. DeBlas painting. Best penetrating oil for a pine deck. Same thing. So number one, again, first ask what the client wants. Number two, if they say, give me that natural deck,
You cannot go wrong with a hybridized sort of coating like that, like Australian timber oil, something like that. Apply it on to the manufacturer's spec, work it in there really well. And as long as you're honest with the clients about a maintenance schedule, that's a wonderful, wonderful process like that. Let's see what else we got here. Phoenix, do you have any experience or comments on linseed oil-based coating? So yes. So again, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. I knew Cabot 30 years ago as well. When I was a young kid, we used to just slather oil stain all over houses, and it's awesome. It's a great process to do. But the industry and most of the rest of the world is moving away from high VOC oil things. And you can see all the product lines reflect that. So not only are things going to water-based, but they're going to a hybridized thing too. And we've had great success with a lot of them. I would just urge you to keep trying stuff. There's so many variables in DEX. With exterior painting, there's not that many variables because you're covering up what's there. It's a shell. As long as the color's right and as long as you apply it right, it really does a good job. With decks and things like that, there's so many variables. I mean, think about the variables when staining interior woodwork. You're putting on a finish that people can see through. So everything that's ever been under that and the wood affect the outcome, the aesthetics of it. So I would just say, if you have any questions about any of this stuff, you can certainly email me offline, nick@nickslavik.com, or I would urge you, build yourself some little mini decks and get out there and test your processes. When this stuff works, it will delight you like nothing else. When I finally was like keyed in to the knowledge of oxalic acid and sodium hydroxide, all of a sudden this whole world of mystery, like, oh my God, what all this science, I see all these soft washing guys doing all these things and I don't understand it. Simplify it, funnel it down. Oxalic acid brightens decks. Sodium hydroxide strips oil coatings. If you know that, now you've taught yourself to fish instead of just giving yourself a fish. And now you can go forth and say, well, now I have two weapons in beautifying and preserving decks. We just have to apply them in a certain way. So you know the theory behind it now, and not just that this does this, this product will give me this. It doesn't always do that. There's going to be a lot of variables. So yeah. Let's see what else we got here. Here we go. Brushworks. I asked him the question, but I'll ask him here as well. How often do you restain a deck, a new deck? I put a coat of stain on less than a year and it's already pretty faded. So it depends what you put on. If you read the technical data sheets and you have experience doing this, if you put on a natural colored stain like this, you may have to recoat it every year or two to keep it updated. Then again, it depends a lot on exposure and climate and things like that. But harken back to maybe 8 or 10 years ago in my company, we actually had a lot of callbacks on decks and people would say, oh my gosh, you know, we got come back here and take a look at this deck, Nick. It just didn't work out. Turns out we were actually coating decks really well. I was not being honest with my clients about the maintenance regimen on them. So what clients want to hear is that, oh yeah, you stain this deck, it's going to last forever. You're never going to have to think about it again. And I sort of capitulated, like, I don't know, I've seen some last 3 to 5 to 8 years, give or take. And all the client heard was, this deck is going to last 8 years. When in reality, I knew from experience that it was going to be a 1 to 3 year recoat time. So as soon as we actually started writing down information sheets in bold letters, if you choose a natural finish in the upper Midwest, in Minnesota, you will have to recoat this every 1 to 3 years for best performance. The closer to 1 year they get, the better performance you get. And that is not something we capitulate on anymore. And guess what? Callbacks went away. We're honest with our clients. We read the data sheets to them. We've even sent data sheets to them. They didn't believe us. Every 2 years, are you kidding me? I don't want to pay for that. Here's all the data sheets. You can read for yourself and you can take my experience, but all we can do is be honest with you. And once we start being honest with clients about that and being upfront, no more callbacks on decks. That's a great thing. Jason, can you show the brush on a pole? No, it is not a metal bristle brush. You want a soft bristle brush. We have two kinds of bristle brushes in the company. This is the softer one. We do have one that's a little more stiff. Think about those natural bristles. They're maybe about 1 inch long and they're stiff. You just have to choose a selection. We have some that are handheld. We have some that are on a stick. We have some for the poles that you can do from the ground. You just have to find out what works for the deck there. I usually like a little bit softer, but it depends on the age of the deck and how crazy it is. Jim Callahan, Cabot semi-solid decking stain. Did two decks and a swing set with that. Even an amateur like me can make it work. Well, Jim, you're not exactly an amateur, man. You did an apprenticeship under me, which I can't take any credit for how good you are, but you are really good at home projects. So yes, that is it's an awesome product. And it's a really good solution for decks that have, maybe there's a little bit of previous coating that we don't really want to strip off. Maybe it's a basket case where it's been finished two or three times, but there's still enough wood grain showing. You can kind of consolidate a deck. You can take it and get all those colors and even them out and make it look good without, 100 hours of stripping and sanding and things like that. So it's a really good thing. All right, a couple more on IG and then we'll call it a day here. Paint school. We have ePay decks that we refinish every 10 to 12 months. Yeah, that's about it. Let's just see what we got here. Sorry, reading through comments. Okay. Well, that's about it, folks. If you need anything, if you need any more advice, any more questions on decks, you know how to get a hold of me. Otherwise, remember, I have a master's class coming to Tennessee very shortly here. I would love to see people from this show there so we can press the flesh. We can talk about business. We can talk about coding science, things like that. I will not disappoint that, I promise you. So if you want information on any of these or any more classes that we have, a calendar is forming for the rest of the year here. I have it on my site, at PCA as well. You can contact me or the PCA for any of that. Thank you to Cabot for underwriting this show and tasking me with giving all this information to you guys and picking out some of my favorite coatings and stuff from their catalog. And thank you to the PCA for being there for the industry, building better contractors. And it's going to be a fun year, folks. Not only am I sort of resuming the in-person things, there will be starting very shortly more and more of this. So thank you, everybody, for watching. I appreciate you spending Saturday morning with me. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Paint Ed podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and is made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.